I was going to post some stuff on the bulletin board, which I didn't bother to bring over, and I suppose I probably say. And that is Grants Pass lawsuit. This is the lawsuit that followed up on the Martin versus Boise case. These are articles about it, which I can pass around if you want to risk no spitting on the lawsuit.
But you're going to put them
online? If you call me up and remind me, I might, yeah.
Okay, well, okay.
No one ever does, but if they ever do, then it might happen. Yeah, definitely. That could work. And this is the actual Grants Pass decision right here. Now, if you want to take a look at it, you can. Don't blow your nose on it. That would be wrong.
Oh, or I could just look that up.
Grants Pass was an extension of the Martin versus Boise case, which said you can't give someone a camping ticket unless you have not just a place for them to go, but unless there is generally a place for people in that town, for everyone who needs a place to go under that situation.
Really? Okay.
But this, the problem
is that how you're reading it?
In Santa Cruz. No, that was the original Martin versus Boise. But the problem was that police in Santa Cruz have used, and in other cities, have used the, oh, you're in a closed area. Oh, you're blocking the sidewalk. It's illegal lodging. There's a whole series of ordinances that are used instead, or they just bully and threaten you. You know, or they ask you a question, well, we got a shelter for you to go to. You want to go to the shelter? And people will give the wrong answer, which is, I don't go to a stinking shelter, instead of saying, well, it's a possibility. Well, tell me more details. Should we contact the shelter right now and find if they actually have a space? Do they have disability accommodation? Are they indoors? Because that's a requirement. At least one attorney has told me, our attorney with the Ross Camp case for the Martin versus Boise case, outdoor shelters are not acceptable. Although they're using them in Santa Cruz still.
The
issue is if you're going to try to move someone away and you claim you have a shelter, this was back in, starting in 2019, you can't do it unless you have an indoor shelter. According to, this isn't necessarily what the police accept, and this hasn't necessarily been found by local courts, but this is what the attorney for the Camp Ross people, Anthony Prince, was using as a claim, and he filed it in a lawsuit. And in court, the city defended itself saying it was providing indoor shelter. Of course, it was only a fraction of the people that were offered indoor shelter, and they lied about it as well, but, you know, that's what it was. So anyway, this is the Grants Pass extended this whole thing, and it's described here in terms of this is more common English about this, less than, you know, simply that's the legalese which Monica is looking at. These are stories in the Grants Pass newspapers and so forth. So here, have a. So that I was going to put on the bulletin board so people could go up and look at it if they wanted to, but if you want to, I'll go and put the bulletin board up and we can look while you're working, or you can take a look at it while it's here. Be advised that there, some places like Food Not Bombs is not giving out flyers anymore because they're afraid that it spreads the dreaded COVID-19. I have some gloves with me if you want to wear gloves. I don't... particularly, even though I'm a vulnerable person, silly that I am. Now that I've touched them, of course, they're probably hurting as I am, but nonetheless. Yeah, I got to burn the gloves. All right, so that there is this, the Grants Pass, I believe, extends the Boise versus Martin decision somewhat by talking about, I'm not entirely clear on it, but I think it has to do with those excuses being used in Santa Cruz that were also used in Grants Pass to go after people who are giving the police so-called tools to move people around. Also, I noticed that cities like Oakland are now beginning to consider restrictions on where camps can be placed. They're claiming got to be 100 feet away from a school and 500 feet away from a nursery, 2 miles offshore, and that sort of thing. You know, so it's... there are restrictions coming up.
Yeah, it's probably not.
Yeah, Waterworld.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of my typical comments. You have to add a little humor to an otherwise bald and unconvincing narrative.
Yes.
So, the agenda, however, which the next item I want to mention, then we'll get into the propositions, which I got to confess, Monica, I have not done the homework I should have, but I've done a little, not a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe you already voted. Maybe it makes no difference. Sorry?
Swatched through the whole booklet and did the best I could because some of it's trickery. And I found
did you
out.
Vote?
I don't know which one is.
Okay.
I mean, it's trickery, but yes, I went ahead and did it. Held my nose and went ahead and did
it. That's good.
With the issues, not the, you know, we're clearly not voting for Trump. But, you know, on some of the things that they're trying to trick people with on commercials and stuff, and just voted for people and dialysis staying open for people and, you know, trying to do the best we can on some of these things.
Well, I'll run through some of my thoughts,
yeah.
but I haven't voted yet, so
okay.
I'm still letting it percolate or, you know,
yeah.
sort of steam in the toilet, so to speak.
You know, yeah, marinate.
Marinate, yes. And I'll go into that perhaps, but luckily I don't have to be responsible to you anymore because you said you voted. So
I've both just... Mailbox.
Thank you.
Hope for the best here.
But here's the next thing. Alternate strategies for campground removal assistance. This is sort of a follow-up on what happened at the last meeting we had here. At the last meeting, which I guess you missed, Aaron, because you were elsewhere.
Missed the last two.
Well, now here you are.
Yep.
We had a bunch of newcomers who showed up, and we had about 11 or 12 people here, mostly women, I think, and there was also a guy called, Emmy, sorry, of course, thank you. Emmy, who wanted to really get going on the issue of, I had thought he wanted to get going on this issue, which... we brought up at the last meeting, which had to do with response to police coming to your tent, because there are campgrounds that are going to be shut down, one will definitely be shut down. That's going to be the one that the county campground on the Benchlands, and there's also concern that other camps are going to be raided in the days ahead as winter looms. And the question is there any good way to deal with this? And the answer is probably no, but there are some ideas, and the idea would be also to do some role playing around this. You know, what do you do when the cop comes to your tent? What are some ideas? Because the idea that you don't just want to say, I won't go to any shelters, because that means they have a pretext for saying, okay, we're going to give you this doesn't violate Martin versus Boise for us to ticket you for a camping law because you're refusing shelter and blah, blah, blah. I mean, so you want to advise people and give them possible training in saying other things, which might not necessarily do anything anyway either. So, but still, that's how you want to proceed. I think that was one of the ideas. And so I thought we were going to have prepare for a kind of a role-playing session to do that. I thought that's what he wanted to do. And he might have, but Brent Adams came to the meeting, and Brent is a guy with a different agenda on this whole thing. And he presented it very persuasively to the group. I thought you were there on it, so you could probably talk about it more, you know, from your own perspective as to what you thought. And Brent runs a day and night shelter and does very well with it. He does a shower service. He does it's not a winter shelter. It's a warming center. That takes the overflow a little bit. He doesn't get any city or county funding, though he's been looking for it for years and should have gotten it, but he didn't. And I think he got $5,000 at one point. That was about it. He also he's working along the theory that he wants to encourage the people who are in the community and the neighbors and the police to kind of join together in a sort of harmonious help for homeless people and for homeless people to not be confrontational with the police.
Nope, all right.
No biting, no biting.
I think sometimes...
And, you know, also Brent is very hostile to activist criticism of the police. He believes that it's being done to inflate the egos of the activists. He believes homeless people are thrown out in front of front of the police and then abandoned, which has been true in some cases, but hasn't been so much true recently, as far as I know. He also believes that he's heartened by the fact that some Take Back Santa Cruz people are joining and helping put down... do garbage pickups at the particular homeless encampment that is near his work on Felker Street, which is good to hear. But the whole issue was, and he was able to persuade, I think, a number of people that it's a good idea to devote your energies to, what he wants to do is, his suggestion was, when the police come, we want to have people to help carry away people's homeless stuff to the encampments that they want to go to, which is a good idea if they've got a choice, except a lot of people don't know where the hell to go. I've been to these places when camps are dispersed, and it's nice to have assistance, but people are often, they don't know where the hell to go. And the idea, and the first thing we discussed at this meeting was, where should people go? I think that was the first thing on the agenda, and people suggested, well, UCSC might be an idea, SEPA campground, or other places. But, you know, I wasn't so much into the idea necessarily of finding a campground, because they can always wall it off. The issue is, what do you do when the police try to move you from where you are? You want to demand that there be some kind of accommodation for that, specifically. And, I mean, campgrounds are fine, too. I mean, if you...
Yeah. They're going to do whatever they want to do. Really. I mean, they want to take your stuff and throw it in the ocean, they'll do that.
Yeah.
Well, a lot. They want to help you, they'll help you.
Yeah, some people, some cops don't want to do any of that. Like, I've come into lots of contact with police. And
I believe that, and I'm going to cut you off, because what I'm really talking about is this meeting
Sorry.
We had.
I was just jumping.
Yeah, no, I understand. I just want to get through this stuff, though, quickly, so I'm going to... I'll just muzzle you the way probably should. You know, interrupt me. There you go. That's good. That works. I'll bite you soon. So we didn't get anywhere with any of this. Instead, I think a lot of people are volunteering to help Brent. If they come after the Felker Street campground area near where he is, they will help him, or they will help homeless folks there move somewhere else to a place of their choosing, which is great.
Yeah,
that's good. They will also help him do laundry, do other things to help homeless people. Brent's point, and it's a good one, is it's all very well to sit around the cafe, the Sub Rosa cafe, chattering about these issues theoretically, but it didn't help any particular homeless person today, except maybe one guy gets to chatter with me later about court proceedings that aren't worth a shit anyway. That's true. I mean, he believes somehow that if you provide services for homeless people, that will be a way of dealing with the police problem. I don't think that's true, because I don't think you can possibly provide the necessary services for all the people in town. But I think it's a good thing. Brent's working on good models. He's done real things. It's just, I don't like it when he comes in and what I feel raids a meeting in order to change the focus of what's going on. And also, he does not like what, even though he said he likes what Food Not Bombs does, he believes Food Not Bombs is a group that throws homeless people to the wolves, that is simply an anti-authoritarian group that's just trying to cause confrontations with police. He claimed that when the camps were dispersed across the way here 3 weeks ago, that the homeless people were abandoned to tickets, and that the activists were nowhere to be found. Marty, you weren't there because you weren't doing Food Not Bombs, and I don't think we have anybody is here who was actually at. I was there for the resistance the first couple of days, and it is true, the resistance to the police dealing with that lot, which had people standing in front of the lot, linking arms, or actually they weren't linking arms because they were keeping a social distance, but instead what they were doing was they were holding a string or holding a rope that symbolized holding arms, and that held off the police for 4 days. Now, 4 days is only 4 days, and the fifth day they came in. everything got taken away.
Oh, it's so good.
Yep. I think there's an extremely bad cycle going on here. And it's
yeah.
Where,
and when you don't have any...
You know, it's like, where do we quote-unquote go? And it's basically like everybody is clustered together, like the Ross camp and like other places, until, you know, people are like, oh, my God, what a terrible problem. That has to be completely deconstructed. And it's like... That's going to continue so long as people are placed in a huge group together. But what I had thought of is how about, I mean, what we've got here is the two extremes. We've got rich property owners, we've got people living on the street, living hard. And so it's like, why can't the city or the state or whatever offer some of these rich guys with huge front and backyards some sort of property tax break if they were willing to let somebody, you know, set up a tent in their yard? And have a list of these people, and when the cops come to harass you and tell you you have nowhere to go or you're in the way or something like that, they take out this list and they say, okay, how about this guy up on De La Viega? We're going to see if he'll accept you into his yard. And you know, you meet the person, and you know, and you set up your own little personal camp, not a group of 200 people, but just you or your family in their yard. And then the person experiences, you know, thousands of dollars of tax break. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a thought.
I like that idea.
Yeah. Also, there's a lot of... I've seen, well, not, maybe I don't know about a lot, but I know of, like, a couple or at least a few houses that just aren't being lived in.
See, the problem is these are all great ideas, but ask yourself how soon the city council or the county supervisor is actually going to do this kind of thing. I mean, there's camp removal coming up in 10 days. And so that's why I raise this kind of issue, and instead I get this, you know, the long-term solutions from Brent coming into meetings to essentially break this stuff up. He isn't breaking anything up because Emmy was looking for a variety of, you know, possible solutions. And you know, a lot of important issues were raised. I know, Anna, you were thinking in the meeting yourself, you were wondering that, you asked me, am I saying, should homeless people, should we decide where homeless people go? You asked me that at one point. You may remember. You were sitting next to me.
I didn't remember.
You don't remember? That's what I remember you saying. But, you know, and I said, you know, no, I don't think we should. But, you know, what you want to do is provide support in different ways you can. And so this was... What was your take on the meeting? What did you take away from that meeting? Did you learn anything interesting? How did you feel about it?
If you want.
I liked that meeting. I thought there was like a good... I really liked seeing like the young activist energy, and then seeing somebody being like, hey, like, here's a little zoom back into like more years than you've been here. And like, I liked kind of... There was tension between you and him, which is like probably for newcomers to the to town or whatever. Maybe it would be like you wouldn't notice the subtleties of like how the different people who are working in different ways on similar issues, like where those tensions come up, which probably just gives a better understanding of what is important or whatever. But I thought it was cool. Like, maybe it wouldn't need to be super government level, but even just like directly contacting homeowners or something.
I think there's a lot of people who have their homes.
Go door to door, ask people, would you be down for this?
Right.
And if you would be, can you sign this for me? And then we'll present this to the city.
I feel like a part that would like... be necessary too would be kind of like a middle person too. Like, I feel like a lot of people are like, oh my god, they're gonna trash all my shit, but if there's kind of an organized, like, you know, other set of eyes making sure that like their yard doesn't get trashed, that, like, yeah.
Well, I think if someone acquired a situation like that, they would appreciate it so much they wouldn't do anything to piss the homeowner off. You know what I mean?
They would
do it.
It
was great.
I mean, like, they would greatly value it.
Except why are we talking about things that the city council and the supervisors are never going to do? I mean,
no,
unless you think there's a real possibility of that.
To know that unless you actually try.
Based on past experience, okay. When that's been done, you know, I don't.
People have done that before.
Well, for the last year, we had two council members recalled for trying to. They didn't propose that particular proposal, but anything that smacks of enabling the homeless seems to be something that's, you know, you bring the bums, skunks, punks, and drunks to town,
yeah.
And that kind of stuff. They're electing council members, and you'll see this happening in 10 days. Who unfortunately support those positions? I'm afraid. I'd like to
That's
see that.
I feel like it's kind of thought to like directly work on some sort of a dialogue between sort of those homeowners and the
well, that's homeless, what that's like, what Brent's been yeah. trying to do. They don't. They have a dialogue among themselves online. What they do, what they usually do, is they show up. You want to say something?
Yeah.
He's also had his hand up for a while, so
he can go first.
Quick. I don't, you guys probably already talked about this, but and it doesn't apply to everyone. But there's like apps where you can rent a driveway out for a night. You guys know about that?
Oh, that's
that?
A new one, right?
Yeah, you can go. It's like $10, and you can park your van in someone's driveway, and you get the driveway for the night. And then you like, I looked at it. And there's one at the Circles on the west side, and this guy's like, "Yeah, we have like 11 hippies living here. If you come here, you're gonna have a good time." And it was like $10. I was like, "Wow, that's ridiculous."
When did
it's
you
sick.
What?
When did you start?
I saw it like a couple weeks ago. I'm looking up the name of it right now. But it's pretty cool. You just it's like Airbnb, and you just go boom, and you get their driveway, and that's it. So it's a new thing. I'm looking them up, and there's a bunch of these type of apps.
Do you need like a credit card?
Yeah, that's the thing. Is it doesn't apply to everyone. I think
most
you
homeless
need,
people don't have credit cards.
I mean, there's a lot of
them have EDD cards.
There are a lot of evacuees here in town that have nothing to do with local homeless people.
True that. Yeah. So, but this I'm just throwing out there for people that are like. Because it applies to you. Like, I know a bunch of people have a lot of money right now, and it's going fast. Like, they all got unemployment, and so they do have credit cards. Like, not everyone.
I did have one.
I should tell you, it is illegal. It is illegal in Santa Cruz to do that. So what they're doing is illegal. That's
really?
That's a part of the... There was a law passed in 1999 that said you could... park in a driveway for 3 days a month, provided there was no financial involvement. It wasn't a financial deal. So it, first of all, you can only do it for 3 days per calendar month.
Okay.
Now, of course, if the police don't enforce it, you can do it for as long as you want. If the police don't care if you're doing money exchanges, that's fine. So it might be
on the radar, then they'll bust it up probably, right?
Maybe not. Maybe. It depends on what they feel like doing. What's up?
It's probably not one for yards.
I think this guy, it's like, I was looking at the ads, and there's driveways, there's backyards, like, just like what...
It is legal to be in a backyard with a tent, and it's illegal to be in a side yard with a tent.
I'll find the name.
You know, and that... and in the front yard, if it's concealed from the street, I believe that's what it is.
Well, we got away with that. For 7 years, like, or actually 10 years.
Curb appeal.
Yeah, curb appeal. Under a tree.
Yeah.
And Anna, you were asking, or making a comment that I was going to respond to, but the evil Aaron cut me off.
Huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had something else you wanted to say.
Not that I know.
Okay. Good. Yes. Well, we'll learn about it later, and so forth.
Oh, really?
What?
Whatever we can talk about the boat, man.
It's just so.
This is pertaining to what we were just talking about.
You remember what she was saying? I don't.
I remember what I was trying to say.
Go ahead.
The petition. Like, I think that like it might work if we actually like go out, talk to like go door to door. You're allowed to do that, right? You're allowed to go door to door.
You're allowed to go door to door.
And talk to people and ask them questions and. Like, and even, like for me, for instance, if I did that and talked to these people, you know, that might be on board, or even ones that might not be on board, and they have, like, all these concerns, I could actually, like, answer some of their concerns or whatever, like, because, like, for me particularly, like, if somebody gave me a yard, I would not trash it, you know, like, I'm not one of those people, you know? Like, not every homeless person trashes the community.
You'd get ousted really quick if you did, too. they would review you and you'd be screwed.
Exactly.
You messed it up, you'd fault you.
You'd be like, oh, this person.
One time. And
I mean, I would say if you want to go ahead and do that, that's, you know, organizing something like that is fine. I'd be very surprised if you got anywhere, but if you did, it'll be good.
Most of the community on this petition, how can they ignore that?
How can they ignore it? They've been ignoring it for 30 years. They didn't need to. You didn't have to go house to house for this idea to be available. It's been available all the time. In fact, there was a council member once said he urged people to take on a homeless person in their backyard. And I'm not aware that happened in any great numbers. That was Scott Kennedy, and that was in the 90s.
They're not going door to door about it. Not all the community is hearing this.
That's true.
So more people going door to door, more people spreading that word, more people trying to do it. It might actually work.
I think you've got something there, the door to door thing.
Yeah.
Keep it word of mouth. Keep it off the internet. That way it can't be crashed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It can still be crashed, but like...
maybe one by one on an individual basis.
But still, they still can't stop everybody from petitioning at all. Like,
exactly.
Like, what, you're going to arrest us all for petitioning?
And it would,
it's illegal. We're allowed to do that.
And it would give the paranoid rich homeowners some understanding of the people in their community. Like no, actually, he didn't trash the yard.
Yeah.
Contrary to popular, you know, belief.
Exactly.
And what if there could be, like... like, if people are freaked about door-to-door, it could also maybe do, like, a... maybe, like, audio exchange thing? Or, like... I don't know.
Just word of mouth. Like, if we got the community members that are on board, be like, hey, why don't you talk to all these other people you know in the community and try to get them on board?
Could be around, like, a newsletter.
And we mail?
Yeah.
We do a mass mailing to every house.
Which is money.
Okay, yeah, well, haven't like, got the resources to do a mass mailing, nor, I think, to go door to door. But if anybody wants to organize this shit, that's fine. Let me get through the rest of this agenda.
All right.
You know, I'm happy to see that happen. And it's a good idea if it does. And we can all say, great, great, and then we go home and we do whatever we want to do. So, I mean, I'd be happy to be supportive of that in a way, although I think it's, you know... I suppose it depends on how determined you are, but you know, I would say it's not going to stop the police from going after people who don't want to go into somebody else's backyard. I mean, you would have to also find, you know, you have to consult the homeless person too to see if she or he wants to actually do this shit. The fact that it's available may give an excuse to the police to go around harassing people in camps and say, you can't be here, you got to go in somebody's backyard. Find yourself a patron, sort of along the lines of get yourself a job, get some money, buy a house, rent a house. You know, I mean...
Otherwise, you're unwanted.
My issue is there are people out there right now on the street who need to be left alone and given services right now. That needs to be done. Now, it might be good if they're not in mass camps, but the reason people get together in mass camps is they want community and they help each other. And it's a lot different. So when they break up a mass camp... usually under the excuse of health and safety, that's essentially horse shit, in my belief. It doesn't really make people much safer when they do that. It makes them less safe, I think. Then you break up a community.
That's true. None of the people at the Ross camp would have got coronavirus. It's an outdoor setting. You know, you take them all to some indoor setting, and then they're all at risk.
And it's
considered more responsible to be, you know, in some, you know, building, but in this case, it's not.
No, not unless you have private motel rooms, which is what Newsom set up for a small minority of the homeless population.
What, with central heating, you know, spreading the germs all around the building in a circle? I don't think that's safer.
Well, I think it's probably safer than the group shelters, that's what I think.
I see.
That's a step up from that. Moving on to the next subject, perhaps. You know, this is not to cut off these ideas, but it's... just give a growl before I move on.
The issue is, like, about the breaking up part. Maybe it's more like you want to address, like, the... land preserves or the public area kind of thing? Is that what would be, if it was just similar, like trying to get some dialogue going, get some accuracy for people to go to, but not into the whole breaking up and going into people's specific little yards thing?
Well, it's not. I'm not proposing a solution to the homelessness problem. I am saying, given the fact where people are, this is a civil rights group, as far as I'm concerned. We're concerned about the rights of people not to be harassed where they are, not some ideal solution somewhere down the road. Well, it has to do with being more immediate. People, anything you talk about, including Brent's proposals, are futuristic. They're down the road. They do not involve what's going to happen in the next year. Sorry. The great majority of people are not going to go into everybody's yards. They're not going to go into campgrounds that the city okays in the next year. There has to be a way where people staying where they are get support. That's my belief.
I kind of think that, like, that's the only way shit does happen. Like, that's how, like, the city's things are going on, by being like, okay, what are we going to do? I think defensive is, like, definitely an aspect that needs to happen, but I think there's also, like, I don't know, maybe even just the process of trying to do a thing brings in people, gets conversations going, and then from out of that, you almost, like, don't notice what's going on, but, like, some things have been addressed, or...
It's just, see, I'm familiar with police breaking up campgrounds, and I've seen it happen time and time again. Now, there are those who have a different perspective. They think, oh, it's only temporary. I'm only going to do it as long as the threat of the river rising. I'm only going to do it as long as the threat of a fire being there.
And all of a sudden, they care if you get flooded out.
And then people will come back. But it's something that is, and the real issue for us is, can we really propose real things that will help people in the face of real police harassment? You know, it's very nice when you sit around a table and you look at a piece of paper and, oh, that's a great idea. You know, fine. Whether it's my idea or your idea or your idea, I think you've got to, those are considerations you have to work on to figure out, I don't know, I guess you experiment with them. And I talk to people in camps to see what happens. And, you know, and so does Brent, I imagine, as he goes around and does something similar.
Because when you do more experiments...
Well, in the meantime, I mean, you try. There are some documents that are around that are supposed to protect people, constitutions, laws, common religious practices, and the public opinion in town that people supposedly a common standard of decency that people supposedly have, and that's what I've always appealed to: the idea that you can't arrest someone for sleeping because they have to sleep. I mean, that's and yet they do. They've been doing that for years, and yet now. Right, but they would have arrested you for sleeping. They would have arrested you for
in a closed area.
They would have arrested you for sleeping anyway in the last 30 years, except for the Boise versus Martin decision. Okay. When that one came down, they had to stop doing it and find another excuse.
All right, Aaron,
but you see, the point is, in Santa Cruz has had a sleeping ban for years, and yeah, you're right. They'll arrest you for something else, but the fact is, you're sleeping and you're homeless,
yep.
And you're visibly in public. That's what they don't like. Mm-hmm. And the idea is, should you essentially say, you know, as I think, and maybe this is not a good analogy, when they used to see a black folks in a part of town, they say, we don't like seeing you in this part of town. Mm-hmm. You know, so just move to another part of town. Or maybe you should talk about it until the other people lose their prejudices. No, I don't think that's the way to go. I think the way to go, and I think is, again, I'm not faced with that. I mean, you defend yourself if you need to, and that's what some people who are African American did. You use whatever, you get together, you mobilize to try to find solutions, and there's a whole variety of solutions that people have tried, and some of them work a little bit, and we're still struggling with that one. Mm-hmm. And
there needs to be videos of you know, because, like, otherwise, you know, like,
well, needs
they'll
to be
catch
more,
you in the cut, so to speak, you know?
I would say more video documentation, not surveillance. I don't want to be surveilled.
Well, yeah.
Do you just play like you're asleep in a tent? Do they open the tent and start dragging you out?
Pretty much. It depends on the cops, you know.
You know, they may call your tent abandoned, and they say, okay, we'll take your property. Oh, you're here. Okay, wake up. Oh, you're dead. We'll call the morgue.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've played, like, dead but asleep in my car before, and they knocked on the car for a long time.
Yeah.
Called, like, and then they just left. They walked away.
Did you leave, or did you stay?
No, I stayed in my car, and I just acted like I just closed, had a
blanket. Did you stay after they left?
Did you shift around?
It sucked, for sure. It was like, I was looking around, I'm like, oh, they're around the corner, and then I bounced like an hour after they left.
But they eventually forced you. The
intimidation made you go, eventually.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. But I didn't want them to pull me over once I started driving, so I was like...
But you didn't get a ticket.
But see, it's not whether you get a ticket or not. It's the intimidation that treats you as less than a human being. This is the issue here, you know. And that's the kind of compromise that I hate to see happening when it happens. Mm-hmm. I feel like shit when it happens to me on those rare occasions when it's happened. So
maybe you should always respond to the police first. Can I help you?
Oh, I always say that. I always say that. Then, you know, but that. So what? You know, I mean, then what?
They're like, oh yeah, they'll probably be like, yeah, you can help me.
Right. I could say the same for you, officer. You know, it's fine. Shall I roll through the rest? Is there anything on here that people want to deal with, if of interest? Otherwise, I'm going to go into the next.
The updates on RV attacks.
That's so funny. I was just looking
at RV attacks. Well, the expert on the RV attacks is our blonde-haired associate over here.
Oh, yeah, my red hair is fading. I actually ran into a nice police officer who were trying to sell the Airstream that we moved out of. And I had it parked, and I put my placard up in it for extra protection at night, and... I noticed them pulled over in front of it. I just happened to be driving by it on my way to come into town, and I see him sitting there going with his thing, reading my license number and everything, and I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. I'll just pull over, jump out, open it up, and talk to him, you know, when he comes over, and sure enough, he did. But he could tell that we didn't live in it anymore because it's cleaned out. And the for sale signs are up, and he says, nobody knows who this belongs to. Oh, first thing he said was, are these your RVs? And I said, did you just put an S on the end of that? That was the first thing out of my mouth. And I said, no, that is not mine. I'm parked behind someone else's that might actually be abandoned. So I explained the situation that we were there being... worked on, her lot got too full, I had to move it to the curb, and she's got a set of keys at Mission RV Repair, and her lot just exploded because of the fires, and she doesn't have time to work on it anymore, and so on. So, yeah, he was saying just move it along, and I said I've been doing that every, like, 3 days, and especially when you get one of those green neon things. So every 72 hours we move it.
How annoying is that to get off?
It's a little... Oh, no, they haven't stuck it on yet. They stuck it on my daughter's once on purpose and then grabbed her by the arm when she tried to take it off. Bruised her arm. She got into the vehicle to leave. Oh, they made fun of her bad tattoo and some
was
anarchist stuff.
Officer?
These were those guys in those black cars.
That was a...
Volunteer? Are they volunteers? Who are? There were police officers.
Undercover or whatever.
Yeah.
The unmarked Crown Victoria cars.
Yeah.
Cars.
And her problem was she parked down the street from when we lived in a front yard, and she parked behind someone who stole a car. This is my daughter's lot in life to just pull right up to the.
Wow.
So they lumped her in with the guy stealing the car. They let her dog, her pit bull, jump out of her vehicle when they opened the door, called her a bad dog owner and made fun of her tattoos and stuff. And then, when she went to leave, her flip-flop fell off. She put her head down to grab it, and they slammed her head in the door.
This is cops?
Yes.
Like
Oh, uniformed police?
Yes.
Jeez. Yeah. And
this was many months ago.
Like
we're talking
a year
about.
Ago. And yeah, they choose whether they want to stick that thing on your window so you cannot get it. She says, "Well, I can't see to drive now."
Yeah.
And then it just went from there. And yeah, gave her a ticket and.
But can you get back to the more recent stuff? Because we've talked about this.
So if you move every 3 days, you're yeah. And this guy was he was like, "Okay, just keep moving it." And I said, "I will get right on that ad for it." And the storage lot over, you know, that I could point to said they're completely full. And the lot I'm in line at on Portola is full, but I'm next in line. And so I, you know, explained myself, and I was not living in it anymore. So he was like, "Okay, just keep moving it until it's sold."
As long as you're not using it for a useful purpose.
I was not sleeping in it anymore, and he says, "Oh, yeah, I noticed." So, you know, he looked inside. But otherwise, I probably would have gotten a real ticket for $118 for overnight.
I have something I want to say about Barbies. You guys remember where Bargain Barn used to be?
Yep.
And off Encinal,
yeah.
This little side road, like dead-end road behind this warehouse that I work for on Encinal.
Where is this?
It's 324 Encinal, right behind there. I'm not sure what that road
it's
is called.
In the Harvey West area.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I'm usually picking up my newspapers at like 1:30 in the morning. And usually SUV cop will come in and do some really fast U-turn and blaze out of there. But what I've seen in the last 2 weeks is the people that park along the curb right there. I saw this 2 different times. The cop got out of his car, just rapped on the window, you know, got no response, and then he went over and like felt the tailpipe of the vehicle and then back to his cruiser, got something out of his cruiser, and then went back to the window. It was stepped up harassment compared to what I've seen for years in that same location.
See if it's warm.
What's that? Yeah.
Yeah,
to see if he had recently driven there or something like that. And these are vehicles that are just newly parked there each night. They're not 72-hour parkers, you know, but they're being treated like, you know, like get out
did
of here.
Did you document this by taking pictures, John?
It's dark. My phone.
Did you write down the license number of this car?
No, I would recognize the officer, though. He's a younger guy than usually what I see driving that SUV. So it's a rookie who just got hired. Needs
did you
to
barricade his car and say, "Go nowhere"?
No, but it was ridiculous. I mean, it was like clearly that person in that van that the guy was harassing, that's all they have.
Did you
that's,
talk to him later, the guy in the van?
No, he started up and moved due to the cop's harassment. Like, the cop left, and a few minutes later, he heard the van start up and leave. He didn't want no more of that. It was terrible, though, to see.
Yeah,
usually they just do some really quick U-turn, scared of the coronavirus, get out of there. You know,
need to come out and offer the cop on him.
You make their show of, like, you know, "I'm the menacing cop, you all just get going now," you know. But this time it was.
Say, "Can you
personal.
Help me? I'm not
yeah.
feeling well."
Yeah.
Right.
It's coffee.
Has anyone been over the hill lately? Like,
do you need a house?
Have you guys seen
an ambulance, sir?
In San Jose, I was over there for the past couple of weeks just getting away from the sheriffs. And just the homeless people over there have it made. Like, they could. It's not really, but it's like the Wild West. There's just like. I don't know. It's crazy, dude. There's encampments everywhere, and there's like so much more to blend into, I guess. There's a guy that had the sickest setup. He had his trailer on stilts, 6 kegs of beer in the back of his truck. He had carnival games outside, and a sewer pipe, a concrete pump pipe, running into the freaking the waistline of a 24-hour gym. And I was like, "Oh my god!" Running across the sidewalk. Like, how long have you been here? He's 3 months. And I was like, "What? This would never happen."
All you
like,
need is a sewage line, and you've got it made.
He's got a sewage line running across the sidewalk, and there's just piles of shit everywhere. And I'm like, "Dude, what is going on over here? This is crazy." Like, in Santa Cruz, this would be like, you know, crucifixion if you did that. But
because of the sheer numbers.
Yeah, it is. So I don't know anyone. If people really want to get away, like, go over the hill. It's like, way. I don't know. Maybe not.
So, Aaron, I know.
In the past, we've had discussions with you about your own situation where you on two occasions had your vehicles taken, weren't able to get your tools out of your vehicle. Any updates on any of that?